and shave, bring it back. 406. We'll do this right before the preaching here. Number 406.
Likes this song, and I like homemade blueberry muffins, so you get to listen to this song, and I'll let you know how the muffins taste.
Without you holding my
and the valleys too wide. Down on my knees, I learn to stand because I can't even walk without you holding.
My wife taught my son how to play the piano, okay? No? Okay. Oh, boy. I thank God that Jason's able to bless us with that kind of music like that. So it's a real blessing. Real blessing to serve the Lord in that way. Hebrews chapter 4, if you would. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, or verse 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Let's pray. Father, help us as we look at the subject of the word of God again tonight. Help us to learn how important the word is to us, how precious it is, and how we ought to let it do its work in our heart and life every day. So guide and direct in what we say and do here in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. What does it do? It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, and of the joints and marrow. I've said this before, and I've taken two messages already on this verse. The first one is the word of God in reference to your body. And then last week, the word of God in reference to your soul. And now the third part of you is your spirit. Did you know there are three parts to you? You got three parts. You got your body. That's what I'm looking at right now. Wow, that's a terrible sight. It's okay. I'm looking at your body right now. And then you've got a soul. That's the part of you who's thinking. And that is aware that you're here. Aware of everyone else around you. It gives you that consciousness. Then you've got a spirit. That's the part of you that seeks to know God. And that's part of you that God wants to have fellowship with you. And so you've got that third part, the spirit, your spirit, and the word of God pierces even to your spirit, right down into your spiritual part of your man, a part of your being. And that's what we want to look at tonight. If you have your body in order, you know, the Christian very easily sometimes, I should say, easily can control his body and kind of get it in submission to the way it should be. He can maybe even get his soul to be what it should be. If you have those two where they should be, then your spirit can be where it needs to be. And the word of God will help you. Only the word of God can affect you so much that your soulish condition and your body condition can be given over to the Lord. Then the spirit part of you can be what it should be. When the order of importance is out of line, you cannot enjoy Christianity. I'm going to tell you, first of all, the most important part of you to have in line with the word of God is what we're going to talk about tonight. Your spirit. That part of you that seeks fellowship with God. Then your soul. That's the part of you that seeks fellowship with others. And then your body. That's what you walk around in. You got to have that spirit part of you in line with the word of God in order to enjoy Christianity. John chapter 4, verse 24, you don't need to go there. If you remember last week, Brother Steve G was here, and he preached a message in the morning service on what is true worship. And he used this verse of scripture where it says, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We have a lot of worship going on today that's centered and focused on body, the bodily functions. And that's why we have a big problem in our churches today. Contemporary music, rock and roll, and hip hop, and everything seems to be in there these days, where the people on the stage of worship times are gyrating their bodies around just like a regular dance hall, like a nightclub. And I'm going to tell you what, I think it's sin. I think it's sinful. I don't think that's right worship at all. And then you've got people who got their bodies going, and now they got their souls going. The old soul train, the old got to get your souls. And a lot of this kind of music that just deals with the soulish part of us rather than the spiritual part does not bring honor and glory unto the Lord. You know, there are some times when you listen to some of the contemporary Christian music that's out there today, you can't tell if they're singing about the Lord Jesus Christ or about their boyfriend or girlfriend. You can't tell the difference. There ought to be a difference. There ought to be a difference. You ought to know that they're singing about the Lord Jesus Christ and not have any question in your mind about it at all. Some of the themes and some of the ballads that are sung almost sounds sexual rather than spiritual songs that would please the Lord up in heaven. And I believe they got the things out of order. The first thing that's important in our singing and in our worship to the Lord ought to be, is our spirit right with God? And that first of all starts with being saved. If you're not saved, your spirit is dead spiritually. Dead in trespasses and sins. And you need to be awakened up through the new birth in Christ Jesus. Then, and I believe only then, can you really start singing and worshiping the Lord the way you ought to. That's why I just can't get blessed by songs, Christian hymns, sung by people who give no evidence that they're born again. But you give me an old lady or an old man, even with a scratchy voice, who you know knows the Lord as their personal Savior, and let them sing Sweet Hour of Prayer, and it'll bless your heart. It will encourage you, even if they can't really sing too good. Because you see, we're not worshiping the Lord to get paid or to be applauded. We're worshiping the Lord to praise and glorify Him. And when we're all done, we better make sure He is getting all the glory. All right, well, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Assurance comes in Romans 8, verse 16. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. One of the things about being saved is, the day you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes and resides in your very being. He is there. I don't understand where He resides. I don't know where it is. Is it in your arm, in your legs, or your chest? Or what? I don't know the answer to that, but I know He's there. He resides with me. He helps me. And even this morning we're talking about prayer. The Holy Spirit often will pick up where you can no longer pray because you just don't know what to pray about. The Holy Spirit picks up and He starts praying on your behalf. And He helps you. Who is the one inside of you that says, Gary, you ought to read your Bible today? That's not my wife, you know. Although maybe she will say that sometime. It's not someone that I meet in the street. It's that still small voice inside of my very being that says, Gary, you need to read your Bible today. You need to pray today. You need to live godly today. You need to speak a word for Christ today. You need to make sure your body is a good example. So, you know, you got to dress right. You got to look right. You got to give a good impression to the people that you're in front of that you're a child of God. I do believe you can dress yourself in such a way that people will think you're a child of the devil. There is such a way. Didn't we just get through a season called Halloween? You know, everybody dressing up to look like a demon or a devil or a goblin. They actually dress up to look like that. You know what, though? I think some people think Halloween's all year long because they look devilish all year long. And they, oh boy. Can we talk about tattoos? Can we talk about rings through the nose and the tongue and the cheek and the forehead and the belly? What is going on? What is this? Tattoos of demonic characters on in your skin. Now, I do believe that if you ask the Lord to forgive you for that, He will. Even though you may have to carry it on the rest of your life. But you know what we ought to... I believe the Spirit of God is saying to you, Gary, be a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure they can see even in your body that it has been surrendered to the service of the Lord. Now the soul part of you, which we talked about last week, you know, the selfish things and all, that's something that you've got to ask the Lord to help you with. And the Bible does give us instruction, as I gave you things from the Bible last week. But now we're talking about the spiritual part of you. This part of you allows new service for God. I'm going to take it to some other places now. Romans chapter 7, verse 6. Romans chapter 7, verse 6. Romans 7, verse 6. Look at what this verse says. But now, and I believe that's in opposition to what it says in verse 5, for when you were in the flesh, okay, but now verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And by the way, you're going to live this new life in Christ as guided by the Spirit of God to guide your spirit to be in fellowship with God, not by some legal representation or law or set of laws. It's going to be spirit-led. Spirit-led. And you need to follow that thinking. And not just think, well, as long as I keep the law. No, that's not good enough. God wants you to be even closer to Him than just someone who's keeping a set of rules and regulations. But one whose spirit is being led by the Spirit of God to please God in everything you say and do and think. Galatians chapter 5, another verse. Galatians chapter 5. Both Romans and Galatians very often are telling us, don't live your life according to the law. The law was put away in Christ. And you've got the Spirit of God, the law of the Spirit inside you to lead you and guide you. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the, what does it say? Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. That means to live your life in the center of the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, how much better we would be representative of the Lord Jesus Christ if all through the day we would be yielding to the Spirit of God inside of us as to what I should do, how I should think, where I should go. Where should I take my body? See why I said the most important part of you to get right with God through the Word of God is your spirit. Because the Spirit of God will say to your soul, you know, you shouldn't be so selfish. Don't be so self-conscious. Remember those things I was talking about last week, okay? Those of you who were here last week, I gave you a whole bunch of self-this, self-that, self-this, self-that. The Spirit of God will say, Gary, don't be so concerned about your self-esteem. You ought to be thinking more about, is Christ being seen in me? Well, what's in it for me? No. How about what's in it for that soul next to you? What's in it for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? See, if your spirit's right with God, it can help control those other two areas of your life, your soul and your body. The Spirit of God's going to say, now, Gary, you ought not to be where you're at. You're in a place of ill repute. What are you doing here? Everybody around here is cussing and swearing, telling dirty jokes. They're drinking, smoking, drugging, everything. What are you doing here? The Spirit of God saying, get out of there. Be separate, saith the Lord. Right? That's in the Bible. See how the Word of God gets right down into your spirit. With the Spirit of God, the Word of God says, get out of here. You don't belong here. Spirit of God on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings says, Gary, get yourself down to the church house. Get down there where the saints are. Yeah, but I'm tired. Get up and get down there. The Spirit of God's telling you that. He's saying, get your body out of bed. All right, put your shoes on your feet. Put some good clothes on your back and get down there to the church and let your mouth and tongue sing to the praise and honor and glory of the Lord. The Spirit of God is working on your spirit to get you to get your soul and your body in line the way it ought to be. So those three parts are important, but the most important is this, what we're talking about tonight, your spirit. That part of you that God can have fellowship with. Kind of, that's the entrance into your very being for God to influence you. So walk in the Spirit, and if you do, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you don't walk in the Spirit, don't let the Spirit have his way with you in a day. Guess what will have its way? Your flesh. Oh, yes. Can a Christian be fleshly? Can a Christian be carnal? That's another word for being fleshly. Can a Christian be that way? Oh, yes, he can. That's what the whole book of 1 Corinthians is about. The Corinthian church was very carnal, and they needed to learn to walk in the Spirit, and they'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, I want to take you to a passage of Scripture, and we're going to stay here until I'm done. Colossians chapter 3. Say, oh no, this is going to be a midnight. No, it shouldn't. But I want you to go to Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to read this whole chapter. But what I want you to see in this whole chapter is the three parts of your body are all talked about. And how they need to be brought into submission to the Lord, so that you as a believer, as a Christian, will be the example you ought to be. Let the word of God tonight, and I believe this is Colossians chapter 3, so this is the word of God, let it do that piercing work and that dividing asunder down inside your very being, your spirit, soul, and body, and bring it into submission to the things that will please the Lord. Here we go. Verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ. Okay. Are you? Are you? Well, that's me. I'm risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above. Should I seek the things above, or should I seek the things in this world? You know, it doesn't say seek those things which are down the corner, across the street. Your favorite thing that your flesh likes. No, no. Seek those things which are above. Well, where above? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's where. Whoa. If that's the case, then I'm really going to have to be studying my Bible more. I'm going to have to learn more about my Savior, Jesus Christ. Just what kind of a person is he? What is he doing right now? He's at the right hand of the Father right now. He's interceding on my behalf. What has he done? He's died on the cross for our sin. You know, that's what you need to do. Set your affection upon things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you're dead. How about that? Now, wait a minute. It says, verse 1, if ye then be risen. That sounds to me like life. What's this? For you're dead. That's contradictory. If ye then be risen, but you're dead, and your life. Oh, the Bible is telling me that even though I'm dead, I still have a life. A new life. A resurrected life. And I'm dead to the old way. And I'm alive to the new way of living. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. It kind of takes you right off to the very end of everything. For how long do I need to be like this? Well, till the Lord comes and takes us all home to glory. And then we'll be just like him. We'll appear with him in glory. Then verse 5, look at here. Here's the body. Here's the body, the word of God getting right down into your body. Look at it. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. See, these are things the body does. Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. All right, there's your body being talked about in this passage of Scripture. The Word of God says, mortify the things of the flesh, or put them to death. What things? Fornication, uncleanness. You know what? Pornography. Much of what's on TV these days is nothing but smut and garbage. You do well to mortify yourself to these things. Well, where can I... How about go to church? Go to church. That's a good place to get away from some of that stuff. Keep your eyes on the Word of God. Be singing some good songs to yourself. That keep your eyes off of the things you shouldn't. Ladies, be decent and modest in your apparel so as not to draw men to be thinking things they shouldn't be thinking on you. All right? That's your body. Verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. All you have to do, folks, is just touch any button on your phone and it usually stops the ringer. All right, just touch any button. It usually does the trick. Verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You know, this is your soul part. This is the part of you that thinks. Can you be merciful? How about anger? How about wrath? How about malice? Blasphemy. Where does that come from? It comes from the inside of your soul. You know, you can't blame your mouth for it. You know, smack your mouth. Well, that's a bad word you just said. Oh, wait a minute. Your mouth is your body part. I mortify that. But what does the filthy communication come? Comes from inside here, in your soul, in your thinking processes. Why do you get angry? Why is there malice? You know what malice is? Desiring something bad to happen to somebody else. Well, I hope he gets his. Whoa! You know, that's not a Christian soulish thing to be saying. You need to let the Spirit of God get the victory over that part of your soul, and we'll see some things that you should change in your soul here in a few verses down. But let me just go over this. Blasphemy. How about lie not one to another? By the way, let me ask you a question. Do Christians ever lie? Ooh. Wow. The answer is yes, they do. Yes, they do. Certainly they are not being yielded to the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God would never say, you know what you need to do to get out of this problem? Tell a lie. You think the Spirit of God is going to do that? No. Who's doing that? Your own soul is doing that. And you've not surrendered that part to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God would say, Gary, you tell the truth no matter what. Tell the truth. Kids, tell the truth to mom and dad. If you claim to be a Christian, tell the truth. Don't be lying to get out of a problem. That's not the Spirit of God telling you that. You tell the truth. Even if it hurts, you tell the truth. All right. Verse 10 says you put on a new man. And verse 9 says you put off the old man. Verse 11, let's continue on here. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all and in all. Now look here. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. That's who you are. You're elect of God, holy and beloved. What are you supposed to do? Put on something. Now up there in verse 8 it says put off something. Down there in verse 12 it says put on some things. What do I need to put on? Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. See how this is different than the other group of things we just talked about? All right? Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. There's the good parts of your soul that you're to put on. Bowels of mercy, kindness. You know, where do those come from? Those come from the Spirit of God leading you and guiding you. Where did that other list of things come from? The flesh was controlling. Now what the Holy Spirit of God says, be kind to that brother or sister in the Lord. And no, they don't have a friend. Why don't you be a friend to them? You know, they're struggling with something. Can you help them? The Spirit of God says, go over there and help them. Say something nice to them. All right, I'll get real contemporary. Send them a nice email. Okay? Send them a nice message through all your various things that you do. I don't do any of those things, so I can't be kind, right? No. You know, a nice, kind word goes a long way. It goes a long way. And you know, when maybe you've said something you shouldn't say, maybe the flesh was ruling that day, you ought to, I'm sure the Holy Spirit of God is saying, you know, you really ought to go and say, you're sorry. You're sorry. And in the marriage relationship, that needs to be said more than ever. Say, honey. That's a good thing, you know, honey, yeah? Or whatever your word is, you know. My word's honey. Okay. Maybe you have honey bear, sweetie pie, or I don't know, whatever you use. I'm sorry. Wow. You really want your spouse to die of a heart attack? Do that, okay? But no, say, I'm sorry. Maybe it's even somebody else, maybe a friend or somebody that you weren't being led by the Spirit in something. You need to go to them and say, you know, I really wasn't saying the right thing to you the other day. And I'm sorry for that. I belong to the Lord. It might even give you opportunity to witness. When you surrender yourself to the Spirit of God inside of you. All right, well, meekness. Meekness, by the way, means to allow yourself to be imposed upon. Easily imposed upon. None of this, well, don't bother me. Can't you see I'm busy? Oh, boy. Meekness is, I'll put away what I'm busy with in order to attend to your needs. Easily imposed upon. And there's no better example than that of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. There was another man mentioned in the Bible who also was said to be the most meek man on the earth. Does anybody know who that was? Who was that? What? Moses. Moses. I think of him as a leader of the people of Israel, taking them out of through the Red Sea and through the wilderness journeys and all the complaining and murmuring and moaning and groaning against his leadership. And yet when it was all over and done, the Lord said he was the most meek man on the earth. Easily imposed upon. You need to be like that too. But now, that third part of you, does this passage here hit the third part? It hit the body. Oh yeah, it hit that. I had some things to say. And it hit your spirit. I had something to say about that. Now look, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Right there you see the spiritual song, spirit. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then the marriage relationship's brought in here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Well, isn't that something? The wife is told to submit, but the husband's told to love. The lover in the house needs to be you, husband. You're the one who needs to initiate that. And let her know she's loved. She should have no doubt about that. There should be no doubt in your wife's mind as to who her lover is. Okay? She should know without a doubt, I'm his. And he's mine. And you make sure she has no doubts about that. And be not bitter against them. Boy, I just can't stand the way she washes the dishes. Oh, wait a minute. You wash the dishes then. No. Don't be bitter against them. You know, she just doesn't make the bed right. Then you make the bed. No. All right? Be not bitter against them. Don't hold a grudge against them. Love them. Children, all right, children, kids, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Don't you be a problem to mom and dad. You make sure you're doing the things that you ought to be doing as a child and please your mom and dad. You know, your dad works hard to bring home money, to put shoes on your feet and clothes on your back and food in your belly. And mom works hard too. Sometimes both of them work, but mom usually is the one who makes the food. Most of the time, all right? And she watches, she brought you up. She fed you, she nursed you, she changed your diapers, she taught you the way you ought to go. You know what? You ought to be obedient to them, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. When the Lord looks down from heaven and sees you as a child doing the things that your mom and dad tell you to do, it pleases him. 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You know what? There's such a thing as disciplining and disciplining right, and then sometimes the discipline is not done in a right manner. Child abuse is never right, okay? That's wrong. That's wrong. But loving discipline is right and needed and necessary. And make sure when you discipline your child, they know you're doing it for the right reason. It's always a good time to sit down with them and explain what's going on, what they've done wrong, what the discipline is going to be. Then administer the discipline. Don't hold back. It needs to be done. But then make sure they know you love them. It isn't a bad thing either to take time to talk to the Lord together with them about the situation. You say, well, they're not even saved yet. I don't think they know how to talk. Well, then you talk to the Lord for them, in front of them. Let them know that you're doing this because the Spirit of God's directing you to lead this house in the way it ought to go. All right, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, I don't think we have any slaves here tonight, unless you think that that's how your workplace really is. But you know what? How about we just kind of use this to show what you as a worker ought to do? As a believer, I believe the Holy Spirit of God is going to say to you, you do the best job you can do at the place where you work. Not because you're just trying to please men, but to please the Lord. That's what it says here. Not as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. The best employees that a owner of a business should have is a Christian. But sad to say, sometimes a Christian is not always the best employee because they're not surrendering to the Spirit of God, who wants to make their soul to be what it should be so that their body will be doing what it should be all day long. Verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. I think that this chapter is an interesting one because it hits all three parts of you. It hits your body, it hits your soul, and then it says your spirit needs to be right with God. And when we come to church, kind of going on what Steve G preached last week, what is true worship? If our spirit is right with God, then our soul and our thought life will be what it should be. And then our bodies, I believe, can actually sing and worship the Lord in a way that pleases Him. So let the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, do its work of piercing right down into your soul and dividing asunder of the soul, spirit, and the joints and marrow, and let it discern the thoughts and intents of your heart, of your mind. Whoa! You see, I'm a preacher and I can preach some things to you, and maybe you say, boy, he's getting down on my case here tonight, or he's hitting some. I can't get as close as the Word of God can. The Word of God can really do its work on you. Will you let it? Let the Word of God be your guide. Follow it. It will never lead you astray. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto unto the word of God. That's what you need to do. It'll be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. They're pure words, sweeter than the honeycomb, honey in the honeycomb. They're precious. They're enduring. They'll last forever. You never have to worry. Well, I obeyed the Bible one time, but now I find it was wrong. No. This will always lead you in the right way. Today, tomorrow, 10 years from now, this Bible will always lead you the right way. Okay. That's my message for tonight. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's the Bible. It hits all three parts of you. Let's serve the Lord and be faithful. Let's submit and surrender to Him. And let the Word of God be our guide that the Holy Spirit will take and say, this is the way you ought to go. Go in it. Walk in it. This is the path you ought to take. And by the way, those are old paths. They're not new paths. They're old paths. It's the same old way, but it's the blessed way. Eternal blessings. All right. Well, let's sing, I Have Decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Let's pray. Our Father, help us as we go to serve you, to be Bible believers, stand on the Word of God, and let it do its work in our heart and our mind, our thoughts and intents of our heart. Help us to let you have your way with us. Then our spirit, soul, and body will be pleasing unto you. Keep us safe as we go home tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.